Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
All righty, welcome everybody. Great to have you with us today. It is Friday. That means it's Freedom Friday. I mean, we celebrate liberty every day on this radio show, Political Coffee, and I'm your host, Jeff Kropp. And I got to tell you something. Fridays are special. Because I, as your host, give you the opportunity to call and talk about anything political you want to talk about. Got something on your mind that you want to get off your chest? Well, this is your opportunity. And it's so easy. You just pick up the phone. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or send me an email to jeff@1220.am. Lots of stuff going on. Words mean things, don't they? Well, the legislature uses weasel words that only lawyers can go argue about later to lie to you and to pass legislation that says one thing, but they say it means another. The death penalty scam, folks. I got news for you on that. I'm going to get into that. Also, transparent Kate strikes again. Yes, our lovely governor who promised to be the most transparent governor ever. Yeah, well, she's less than transparent. You see, she's worried about a recall petition that the Republicans are doing pretty well with. She's worried about it, and she continues to raise money to pay for it. Wow, look at that. There's Donald Trump and Melania getting off the helicopter, and there's Son Barron, who's like 2 inches taller than Trump. Trump's my height. I know, I looked at him eye to eye when I shook his hand and talked to him for 2 minutes. Wow, how interesting. Man, how the kid has grown. It happens, doesn't it? Transparent Kate strikes again. Yeah, you know what? You know, I mean, it's just another day. It's another Kate Brown scandal, right? She refuses to say how many of her staff are working on her campaign, volunteering, right? Well, that's the scam that I'll get into that I had a hand in that is referenced in this Oregonian article. It is that scam about Brad Avakian, and it in part helped. I mean, we exposed it through our research, and I guarantee I'll tell you what's going on right now in all of that. Also, should legislators get full-time pay? Huh? Would that would it keep them from running the Greg Smith scam? Greg Smith's a Republican lawmaker from Hermiston, a kid that he's not a kid anymore, but when I was in the legislature, he was a kid. He came into the legislature and he figured out how to become rich on being a legislator. And that scam has led to the calls for full-time pay. And I've got a story about that also, because I had a conversation yesterday with a particular member of the Oregon Senate who's a Republican, and we talked a little bit about this and what Peter Courtney's pushing for. Full-time pay. Oh, goody. Let's reward the legislature for more of their scams, for more of their non-transparency. Because you know what? It's hard to make a living. It's hard to make a living being a state legislator. Are you supposed to make a living being a state legislator? Maybe that is something to think about. All right, so all of that's on my plate today. What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220. It is Freedom Friday, your opportunity to call and talk about anything politically you want to talk about. So pick up the phone. This is your day. So let loose. Or shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am, and I'll do my darndest to read it on the air. Just got to be political. That's all. So a word about David Koch. David Koch, one of the Koch brothers, had an impact in Oregon politics. I know because I talked with him a couple of times when I was with Americans for Prosperity. After I left the legislature in 2007, I tried to lobby and I just couldn't do it, folks. I'm just too much of an ideologue. I mean, it would be like Bill Post. You know, Bill Post is not just a fellow radio broadcaster, but you know, he's a guy who's very passionate about what he believes, and he believes in your principles and your values just like I do. Can you imagine a Bill Post or a Mike Nierman leaving the legislature and becoming, quote unquote, lobbyist? Activists, yes. Lobbyists, no. Because you got to go lobby the Democrats. And how do you do that when you've been an ideologue like I was? Well, I tried it and it didn't work. I didn't feel good about it. And so I had the opportunity to join Americans for Prosperity and actually become hired through their Oregon donors, the state director. And I brought on a couple of other guys to help me do that. And over the course of 3.5 years, we built a great grassroots organization during the heyday of the Tea Party movement. We were not funded by David Koch, but David and Charles Koch, two of the four brothers of the Koch Industries, it really felt powerfully that a free market, limited government organization that was nationwide could have a real impact, and it did. We formed an organization here in Oregon that was part of a national organization, but all of our money had to come from Oregon donors. That was the rule at AFP. So I had to engage in a lot of fundraising, and I did. And it was a marvelous experience to teach people how to fight City Hall at the local inn and the local level rather, and win. And we did, and it worked. And some of those people are still fighting to this day. Some of them have moved on to, well, serving at school boards and serving in county commissions and being general activists. So David Koch died overnight. And I think it was because of cancer. And I'd had a couple of interesting conversations with him. And one of them was about how he narrowly escaped death when he was sitting in an airplane, a DC-9 that collided with another airplane on the ground and started a fire and killed most of the people in the first class cabin where he was at that time. And one of the famous people that was killed at that time was Curtis Mathis. You remember that? Curtis Mathis TVs, he was killed in that same crash. And he talked about his experience and how it really changed him in many ways. About he was more dedicated to, you know, trying to do things to help other people. And, you know, that is one of the wonderful things about what America and our republic represents. And what do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean by that. It's called capitalism, friends. It is the opportunity for you to take your hard work, your aggressiveness, your desire to build something, which our form of government, capitalism based on free markets, free thinking, the rule of law, that's what it affords you, limited government. That's what it affords you. It affords us the opportunity, well, to create businesses and to create hard work and do good things. Use what we are able to acquire and what we are able to create to the betterment of others. And that could be not just business, but, you know, maybe you're a poet, and or maybe you write books. Maybe you're an author. Maybe you're a novelist, and you use that in a positive way to help people's lives, and you become wealthy, or you can become wealthy if that's what you want to do. Not everybody wants to do that, and that's cool. I'm fine with that. Or you can become an actor. I'm watching Tom Selleck right now pitch something on Fox. Doesn't matter. You could be a farmer like me. You shouldn't be a politician and get wealthy, however, by being a politician. And that's another story that we'll continue to get into, because it relates to Kate. It relates to what Peter wants to do. And full-time state legislators. But David Koch really felt very, very strongly about this whole business of really trying to use his wealth to bless other people's lives. And he gave away like $1.3 billion. Yes, I know he's worth $51 billion, but that's just his share of Koch Industries. And in Oregon, they own Timberlands. They own Georgia Pacific here. That's Koch Industries. So they were, he was a powerful force within the Tea Party movement. In the discussions I had with him in the conferences we had at Americans for Prosperity, was they really focused on building grassroots support, and it worked. We were a big part of that, and David Koch and Charles Koch were a big part of that. So I am saddened with his passing. He got married late in life, married a socialite out of New York. He was based in New York. His brother, Charles, who really ran the company full-time, was based in Kansas, where the company is based. But he lived in New York. He was a big donor, a cancer survivor, and it sounds like cancer got him in the end. Dead at 79. It's unfortunate that he was a never-Trumper, an anti-Trumper, and a kind of an open borders kind of a guy. It's too bad for that, but still very much involved in the free market movement. Many of you may not know that he was the vice presidential candidate in the Libertarian Party in 1980, running against Ronald Reagan, of all people. They were very libertarian, already became Republicans and big Republican donors, and I brought several Oregon donors into their sphere of influence in those yearly meetings that they held, where they raised lots of money to back Republican candidates typically. So David Koch, dead at 79. So words mean things, don't they? Well, they do. And your words mean things, which is why I give you the opportunity on Freedom Friday to call and talk about anything political you want to talk about today. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Words mean things, friends. So there's a great piece today by my friend Jason Williams from the Taxpayer Association of Oregon. Go see it if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. And here's the title to it: Language Scam Used to Gut Oregon Death Penalty. Well, it's not just the language scam and the death penalty. It's the language scam and a whole lot of other pieces of legislation that really impact your life. And this is another opportunity for you to read this, to think about it, and to think about how your language in talking with other people in your sphere of influence, your language can get them to start that journey. Well, the light bulb goes on the head, and they begin that journey moving away from the leftist mentality that so permeates media and permeates government employment or just our educational system in Oregon today that is so deceptive, because words mean things, and that's what this article is about. And he starts it by saying politicians voted to scale back the death penalty, promised it wasn't retroactive and it wouldn't affect people on death row. But that was then. After the bill passed, we learned that the bill was indeed retroactive and applies to people currently serving on death row. To defend the politician's public lie, and that's what it was, folks, a public lie. Supporters now say that the word retroactive means something different to lawyers than it meant to us and the media and the lawmakers who voted. We'll get into more of this, because this is how you can reinforce a negative about politicians that ultimately preserves your liberty. More on that when we come back. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? 620. Thank you.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? 503-589-1220 or emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Words mean things. The death penalty scam. Also, should legislators get full-time pay so they don't learn how to scam the system like Republican Greg Smith has? Or how about transparent cake strikes again, just like Brad Avakian before her? Well, her taxpayer-paid staff seemed to be volunteering on her campaign. Now, wait a second. She can't run again. Oh, maybe she's a little worried about that recall campaign. And how do we stop Kate, by the way, from while accepting a lot of campaign donations from people who get no bid contracts with the state of Oregon. How does that happen anyway? How do we stop that? I mean, it is legal. How do we stop that? Can you say citizens initiative? Can you imagine the Democrats not liking that? Can you imagine Democrats not wanting to sign on to that? Talk about a campaign issue. Oh, it's just too much fun to live in the land run by Kate. Jeez. Hey, you know, something that is a positive, though, and I'll get back to what this whole word means thing and how you can use it. But I want to remind you that Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial is a great place for you to, well, talk to them about buying CBD oil products, various products that they sell that can make your life better. It certainly has mine, and it has a bunch of people. I told you the story about the young lady who cuts my hair, said that she started taking, she has a whole bunch of health problems. She's, you know, young mother in her 20s, and she's got lots of health problems. And she uses CBD oil, and she sleeps so much better, she said, when she uses it, takes it before bed. And you know what? It works for me that way, too. It also helps alleviate pain. It's a lot better than drugs. So why don't you, well, maybe give it a try. Go on down, talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down in South Commercial, right adjacent to Safeway. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. I did want to read an email, and I will get to that, from Lee. It was came in late yesterday, but it's a great email that I think is important for us to consider. So, all right, so politicians say one thing, and then the meaning of the word is. Remember that when Bill Clinton said that? Well, that's where we are today, and that's how Jennifer Williamson, who's going to run for attorney general, she's the majority leader in the Oregon House under Tina Kotek. She's a lawyer. That's how she was able to create this death penalty scam that basically takes everybody off death row. Yeah, they're there technically, but they're not ever going to be put to death, number one. And number two, this basically makes it so that nobody who's a victim, these people on death row, are going to get justice. Nobody. Anyway, the Oregonian, and we're talking about this this article today by Jason Williams, Taxpayer Association of Oregon. See it on Oregon Watchdog. Language scam used to gut the Oregon death penalty. So they talk about how the Oregonian in their article said the lack of transparency and outright misdirection that has tainted the legislative process should offend Oregonians regardless of their position on the death penalty. That's right. You should be offended. There's the opportunity for you to use that as in conversation with other people to say, man, are you offended with this death penalty scam? People go, huh? What are you talking about? Well, you know, this is what you respond to them. You say, well, you know, this whole business about the legislature saying that, you know, they were kind of gutting the death penalty, and it wasn't going to apply to the people that are already on death row, who've murdered innocent people. You know, like Christian Longo, and you can tell that story, you know, the guy who murdered his wife and children out at the coast and then fled to Puerto Vallarta and was seen partying down there. Ultimately got extradited, got arrested and extradited out of Mexico, and now is on death row. That guy, yeah. Well, we were told that he wasn't going to be affected by this. Well, it turns out his lawyers and a lot of other lawyers that are soon to be, well, one already has filed, we talked about him, has filed to have the death penalty removed. So Jason Williams, I mean, are you offended by that? Are you offended that lawmakers would lie to you, or that they would have put weasel words in legislation that lawyers then get to argue about and ultimately leads to just the opposite of what they said it would do? Are you offended by that? Now, while that may add to the cynicism that you and I feel sometimes about politics, when you ask that question, when you pose that question to someone who maybe is, I don't know, not thinking about it, or maybe has espoused positions. Yeah, you know, I don't like the death penalty. Nobody gets put to death anyway. Well, the underlying issue is not just the death penalty, but it's that you can no longer believe what a bill or what the lawmakers tell you, or even which state officials say it says. Jason Williams writes, to find out what a bill truly does, we have to wait until after it becomes law. That's when the lawyers determine exactly how the bill will affect citizens. This is a language scam, he writes. This is semantics games running rampant throughout Oregon politics, and it's darkening public transparency in our democracy, and it erodes public trust. And he goes on to talk about the carbon tax language scam, where it's a tax increase, but they say it isn't. So they get around the Constitution. The healthcare tax language scam. You know, remember that little old $330 million healthcare tax? As sold to the voters as a healthcare assessment? Or how about the PERS reform language scam? Lawmakers passed the PERS pension bill reform bill at a cost-saving manner when it actually makes things worse because it stretches out the payments over a longer time period, just like you lengthening your mortgage on your home. These are all language scams, and it does lead to the erosion of public trust. So how do we use that to move people to vote against politicians who engage in this stuff? Because ultimately, isn't that the way that we deal with it? It's Freedom Friday. We want to talk about it at 6:30 in the morning. Back in a moment, friends. But, hey, give us a call. Have at it. It's all on the table today.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us today, my friends, if you're just joining us. This is Freedom Friday here on Political Coffee, which means I give you the freedom to call and talk about anything you want to talk about. Today is really easy. Just pick up that phone. Call me, 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Or shoot me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. Words mean things. The death penalty scam. I've got a little bit more about that I want to chat with you about. Also, Peter Courtney thinks legislators should get full-time pay so they don't end up engaging in other scams like Republican Greg Smith, who has learned how to scam the system for his government clients, making sure they get money because he cuts deals even with Democrats. And he's very proud of it. He votes for Democrat ideas every now and then just to make sure that his clients, which are government entities, typically counties, get money from the government. Shouldn't that be illegal? And speaking of that, how do we stop non-transparent Kate, the governor, from using her, well, to the fact that she's governor, to take money from companies that get exclusive state of Oregon contracts? That's funny how that works. Shouldn't that be illegal? It kind of is, but it kind of isn't. She gets away with it. Oh, and the other thing she's getting away with is what Brad Avakian, well, really didn't get away with, that I had a hand in, and we'll get to that in a moment also. Brad Avakian was using his state employees, paid for by you and I, the taxpayer, to work on his campaign during government hours. And they admitted to it. We discovered that because we went and looked at their, and we asked for them through public records, request their schedules of his staff. The staff that we knew, because we had somebody on the inside, that's all I'll say. Somebody on the inside who said, you know, you really, these employees are working on government time, on taxpayer money, time, for Brad Avakian and his campaign for Secretary of State. We exposed that through public records request of their schedules. I can guarantee you that based on this story about how Kate yesterday, on a conference call with several reporters, refused to answer that question. That's transparent Kate, isn't it? Remember she promised when she became governor, after John Kitzhaber had to resign in disgrace, she was going to be the most transparent governor ever. And of course, she's been just the opposite, as many, almost every newspaper editorial board in the state has noted. She's anything but transparent. And she wouldn't say yesterday, after having been questioned several times, how many of her state employees that work for her in her office are actually working or volunteering on her campaign. I can guarantee you what they're doing right now, those reporters. They're making public records requests for those staffers, all of her staff, that might just be working on her campaign as volunteers. They're doing public records requests of their schedules, as they ought to, because that's how you're going to uncover it, and a few other things. My friend Lee wrote me a great email yesterday, and it's kind of a follow-on through my comment about we on the right, we don't go on offense. We let the left define and frame the debate on everything. Climate change, taxes, corporations, socialism versus capitalism. And we're just back here constantly reeling from it. Well, we're tired of it. We're done with it. And Donald Trump is the personification of it. Remember I said Trump is the way. Trump shows the way how to deal with all this stuff. He's always on offense against them. He sets the tone. Now, who's our Trump? Do we need a Trump in Oregon? Well, here's what Lee writes. He says, a big problem with the conservative, non-affiliated, or Republican is, for the most part, they focus on their life, family, their job, their hobbies, while believing that others are basically good people doing the same thing. The other side wakes up in the morning blaming others for their position or lack of, allowing these thoughts to swell and consume their day. Lowering ourselves to their level by fighting the same game will result in no winners. We've lost time and time again because we don't play the game. We're always on defense because the other side lives in their hate, their scheming, and twisting of the narrative. For us to win, we must be smarter. Talk and teach the truth with love and compassion, not allowing their anger to affect us. Not easy to do, but you know, the only way to get the other person to think about why they believe what they believe is true. The truth can be painful. But if we, the conservatives, sit back as we have been, the other side will win again. And sadly, when the system of free fails, those that fought for it will be further disillusioned. If we would all just do a little, it would add up to a gob and change for the better. And then he just shot me an email a moment ago, his nickel for Friday. He says, you know, I was thinking about how Hollywood actors promote their movies with guns and then protest the Second Amendment while stating how we should move to socialism. Okay. So how about we ban anything that has been used for violence, and any actor where their income from a movie that grosses more than $2 million will be divided between all the other starving homeless actors? That's a great idea. Isn't that socialism? It sure is. He concludes by saying, facing what they profess is right, I'm sure they will protest these thoughts are unfair. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great for all of these actors and musicians and singers and so forth to say, you know what, anything over, say, your second $1 million, you just got to divide it up amongst all the other struggling actors that are out there, or all the other struggling singers that are out there, or all of the other struggling activists that are out there. Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be fun to see that happen, wouldn't it? It's Freedom Friday, 503-589-1220. It's the Power Buick GMC talk line. You can call and talk about anything you want to today. emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I want to remind you that, you know, if you don't have enough life insurance, and, you know, most of us, you know, we could just get busy with life, and it's not, believe me, death is not something you want to think about. Yet on the other hand, if you're responsible, you will think about how to provide for those in your family after you're gone. It doesn't matter how old you are. Could be young, could be old. You never know what's going to happen. It's a great reason for you to sit down and talk to my friend Fred Thompson. He's a New York Life Insurance Company agent. And they have a lot of interesting products, if you will, that can help you answer that question and fit your need, whatever your need might be in your family. So it's worth it for you to sit down and just have a conversation with Fred. And you can do that really easy. Just call him. His number is 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. So the death penalty scam is an interesting one, because we talked about how the weasel words, because now they're arguing about what the meaning of the word retroactive is. And this is fallout from Bill Clinton, right? Just saying, well, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. Well, okay, so fast forward to today. The death penalty scam is, and it's just that, it's being railed against. And a lot of people are just frankly really worried about it, because, again, it's slimy politicians. And it's the only way you can describe the people who designed this thing to be what they said it wasn't, knowing that it would be. And how do we know that? We know it because the left said this is how it was going to be interpreted, and the DAs on the right said this is how it was going to be interpreted. We all know it, and they knew it. But it didn't matter. They managed to do the language scam. So they're in a pickle now. The Democrats are in a pickle. This is a problem of their making, just like PERS, and they won't fix it. Now, they want Republicans to help them fix it. Yes, they do. Yesterday, I was talking to a state senator, and he, in this conversation, he said Peter wants Republicans to help them come into a special session and fix the problem. And the senator said, I'm not going to help him. Why should I help him? I voted against it. I don't want anything to do with this thing. This is their mess. They need to fix it. Yeah, they do. So if that's the case, what do you think the outcome of that's going to be? No, I'm quite serious. How do you think this is going to turn out? Should Republicans be collegial and help the Democrats out of their death penalty scam? Or should they let them stew in their own juices? And then how could you chat with others about it? All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to our first caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you? And welcome.
Are you talking to me? Hello.
I can't hear him. Can you hear me?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Well, if we can't, we can't. We'll try it again.
Hello, are you talking to me?
Kate wouldn't talk about how many of her employees that work for her, paid for by you and I as taxpayers, are actually working on her campaign, volunteering on her campaign. Phil, if you can get us one of our callers, that'd be great. And we'll go on from there. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? Anything's on the table. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. So the first paragraph is all you need to know in this Oregonian story. Governor Kate Brown refused to say on Thursday how many of her state paid staffers also volunteered for the campaign.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Last segment for this week on Freedom Friday. In a moment, we're going to go to Rebecca and Art. So you guys hang on, because I think we got that little technical problem fixed. So think about this. Could you say this to someone about this business of state employees working for the governor who might be working for the governor's campaign on state time, which, as the Oregonian story, is illegal? Could you say something like, what do you think about Kate Brown's state employees that work in her office working for the campaign, her campaign, on government time? Is that right? Did you know that state law says you can't do that? See, that's exactly what Brad Avakian's staff admitted to in the Oregonian story. They said, well, you know, when we had to work during the day, we just made sure we made up the time. That's illegal. You can't do that. And, of course, Ellen Rosenblum looked the other way because she wasn't going to do anything about it, as did the current Secretary of State at that time, Jean Atkins, who could have really gone after him. But, of course, she wasn't going to do that. I'm just suggesting ways you could start conversations about this that could lead to a whole host of things. Shouldn't this be prohibited? Well, it is prohibited, but how do you catch somebody at it? And how do you hold them accountable? How do you hold Governor Kate accountable, who's a lame duck governor? She didn't run again. Unless, of course, there's a recall campaign. That might open the door for that conversation. Have you signed the recall of Kate petition yet? Let's go to Rebecca, who's on the line. Rebecca, thanks for hanging on.
Good morning. I'm calling because, I have so many things I want to talk about, but I just want to let people know that Oregon Citizens Lobby has been a organization and provided me with the tools to be able to be involved and to be down at the Capitol knowing what I'm there for. And because of that, I want to talk about elephants at some time. But right now, because time is short, I just think I need to talk about gun crafters having the Kate Brown petition in their store. And people can go into gun crafters any day that they're open and sign the Republican recall of Kate. Now, that means the Republicans are calling that. You don't have to be Republican to sign it. But you can go into the gun crafters. It's in South Salem on 13th Street, south of Rural. So people can come into gun crafters even if you've never been in there before to buy a gun. You can still go in there to sign the recall for Kate.
Thank you, Rebecca, for sharing that with us. I appreciate you doing it because I didn't know that. And kudos to gun crafters for being willing to put themselves on the line and do that. Thank you. We got to move on, Rebecca. Jake, hang on because I'll get to you right after I chat with Art here. But you can also get the sign the petition, by the way, if you come by the KSLM studios. We're right there at the end of the parking lot at where Chuck E. Cheese is on Lancaster. All right? Okay. Let's go to Art. Art, good morning, buddy.
Or the state fair at the Republican booth. So everybody make sure they get their petition signed. Hey, Jeff, I got a solution for the Democrats.
Okay.
Since their law is really unconstitutional because it's already in the Constitution about the death penalty, why don't they just take it to court and get it stricken down, because we all know this is a scam by the legislature to not have to follow what the people wanted when they adopted this in our Constitution. So if they want to get rid of a bill that's unconstitutional, just have a judge declare it unconstitutional, and boom.
Well, all right. But, I mean, you bring up a great point, and that's the kind of an issue that could be used in a campaign, okay? But more importantly, it speaks to the basic idea that once the people vote, rightly or wrongly, I mean, I didn't vote in favor of assisted suicide. I didn't vote in favor of, you know, banning bait and dogs for bear and cougar hunting, and I didn't vote in favor of medicinal marijuana or marijuana. I didn't vote in favor of all that stuff, but the people did. And the politicians should not be overturning the will of the people. And it's one of the things that angers people. Now, Art, would you be surprised if I say to you that I'm glad they've engaged in this scam? Now, why would I say that?
Well, I'm glad, too, because it shows how the Democratic Party don't care about the people of Oregon. They don't care about our voices. And they do these crazy things. Like, you and I both know, Jeff, that they abuse the emergency clause up the yin-yang so they can force laws that the people of Oregon can't repeal. There should be more parameters on that, and they should justify why the heck it's an emergency. But you know, you and I know, Jeff, that they don't. They don't care. They absolutely have no respect for the rule of law, and they just do whatever the heck they want, when they want. People of Oregon be damned.
You've stated it well, my friend. Have a wonderful weekend. Art, thank you for your opinion. Jake, you've got like 2 minutes to call in real quick, buddy. So the reality is, Art just said it right. It's the arrogance that legislators, primarily Democrats, and a few Republicans sometimes, that they exhibit in just not listening to the will of the people, not respecting it. I mean, I can guarantee you that 99% of the people out there who vote have no clue that half of the bills that get passed in the Oregon legislature every session, half of them, have emergency clauses on them. Really, are half of the bills that we pass, are there that many emergencies in Oregon? I doubt it. I don't think so. It's just, it's part of that scam. Now, here's why I said to Art that I'm glad that the Democrats have engaged in this language scam on death penalty. And I'll tell you why. Because it's an opportunity for Republicans, if they have the courage, to use it emotionally and effectively against Democrat candidates in the next coming elections. And when they do, if they do, and when they do, it'll have a powerful impact. Because it speaks to what Art just said. They don't care. They don't care what we think. They're going to ram their radical agenda down our throats no matter what we, the voters, said. When you start talking to people about that, getting them to think about that, they start thinking about voting for somebody different for a change. That's a game changer. Friends, thanks for joining us all this week. Be blessed out there. Make it a great week, and I'll see you on Monday.